morning we are meeting to get a report. The first, second and third quarter report, which was agreed upon between ourselves and yourselves when you submitted your turnaround strategy. Although we had agreed that we would be getting a quarterly report, I think we will get an explanation from the commissioner. And also to apologize for having not been able to meet with you on the 6th, the date that was set, which was as a result of the United Nations Convention report on the child, the rights of the child, which was, forwarded to the committee, and the committee was requested to deliberate on that because already there was a deadline that was given to the speaker by the department. Let me, without wasting any time, once more welcome the chairperson from the CGE, honorable members. Our tradition in this committee is always to introduce ourselves so that we become comfortable, during the deliberations as to who we are. Speaking to, starting with myself, my name is Dorothy Ramodive, the chairperson of this committee on women, children and persons with disabilities.
Morning, my name is Manana Take, the whip of this committee and a member of this committee.
Good morning, my name is Grace Take, a member of this committee.
Good morning everyone, my name is Connie Diemo, a member of the portfolio committee. Thank you.
Member of the committee.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Lizo Fanamarbe, and I'm a member of this committee.
Good morning, Emma More, member of the committee.
Good morning to everybody. Alan Lemola, member of this committee.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Lorenzo Whitefield. I'm a researcher to this committee.
Good morning, all. I'm Crystal Leona, also researcher to this committee.
Good morning, Kashfa Abel, the content advisor to the committee.
Good morning. My name is Wallace Ngote. I'm a commissioner on the Commission for Gender Equality.
Good morning. My name is Sylvia Stevens Mazia, commissioner for Gender Equality.
Good morning, Chair. I'm Pano Zulisho, the chairperson of the Commission for Gender Equality.
Morning, Chair and honorable members. My name is Kekezona. I am a CEO for the Commission.
Good morning. My name is Mashabi Putu, CFO for the Commission.
Good morning, Chair. Honorable members. Keegan Lakay, from the Commission for Gender Equality, acting manager for the Gender Equality.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Niki. I'm the PA to the Commissioner.
Good morning, I'm Ruth Brown from PMG, Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Good morning, my name is Chen Matala, Honorable Ketana Sakutens.
Good morning, my name is Peter Force, from the Geo System.
Good morning, my name is Christopher, I'm from 7-8.
Good morning, my name is Zero Salavona from the Geo System.
Thank you very much for those introductions, and I shall now hand over to the CGE. Sorry, before we go there, can we have apologies?
Thank you, Chair. We've got two apologies from the committee. One is from Paul and one is from Honorable Duchatel.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and morning, honorable members and the Chairperson of the committee. Thank you very much for affording the Commission for Gender Equality this opportunity to present its report on the first, second, and third quarter. I must also apologize in advance that we have nine commissioners. First commissioner is not here. Tomorrow is Human Rights Day. The activity that has already been planned, and they are attending some of those events. That's why we are seeing three commissioners here, Commissioner Mkoki and Commissioner Stevens Mazia. Chairperson, you raised a question around the issue of the CGE not submitting its quarterly report. I must state on record that the first report was submitted from the 1st of April to the 30th of June. The second report and the third report was not submitted in time because commissioners had not considered the report, and therefore as much as secretary prepared the report, and we felt that when we are called, we are going to submit that report, but in future, Chair, we'll make sure that we submit immediately after the quarter. But other issues, other problems that we had for the third quarter was that we had December, and we could not consider the reports immediately in January as commissioners. Then our plenary set in the mid of February, and then we were able to consider the report, the one that we are going to present in today. So we will try by all means that all the quarterly reports they reach you immediately, and we'll make sure that our plenaries as well are closer to the end of the quarter, because those are some of the issues as well the police arise. So the report that we have submitted incorporates the first, the third, and the second quarter. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I will start the presentation by just highlighting the broad strokes of what the commissioners have been doing. There was a concern in the previous interaction with the committee that they needed us to actually highlight exactly what commissioners do in the gender commission. Then I'll hand over to the CEO to actually present the activities of the commission in relation to the annual performance plan of the gender commission. One, Chair, we know as a Senate Commission that we have planned programs, but gender, peace, violence activities sometimes take us away from the annual performance plan and do other things that were not planned. As we know, the Commission is set up in terms of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, Section 187 of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa. Our vision as a commission is to strive to ensure that we promote gender equality in the Republic. My CEO cannot assist me in terms of this down. Sorry, Chair. So the mission for the Commission is to protect, promote, evaluate gender equality through undertaking research, public education, positive development, legislative initiatives, and effective monitoring and litigation, and with the power in terms of the Constitution to monitor, investigate, educate, and advise and report on gender equality matters. Section 20, subsection 1. I'm not sure that we have the same in your packages.
I think maybe some packages did not come with this one, because my package is
it's just that the introductory remarks, Chairperson. We can do this.
But the is copy for the best.
Yes,
I continue, Chair? In terms of people that section 20 subsection 1F, CGE can constitute proceedings in the Quality Court, and section 11 of the CGE Act give us powers and functions. In doing our work, the commissioners have set objectives over and above the four objectives that have been set by CGE. We to pursue our commission work. For example, the commission should ensure that there's good cooperative governance which exists, and we actually execute our fiduciary duties and to perform the oversight function, and also to make strategic interventions and provide leadership in relation to gender equality and equality matters. Now, to ensure as a commission that there are operational policies and policies that are consistent with the vision and organizational values. We as a commission, we need to actually preserve institutional autonomy and independence, strengthen institutional systems by serving on statutory, even in other committees of the gender commission. These are, I suspect, to the overall goals. As a commission, we will set oversight committees to oversee the work of the secretariat. We've adopted terms of reference that assist us to do our work as commissioners, and the CEO is going to actually elaborate on those committees that we have as a commission. As a commission, remember, Chairperson, we've also asked to actually adopt the handbook for commissioners. As a commission in February, we've done that. We're going to actually engage, make sure that the committee has requested that handbook. We have met the Constitutional Act and adopted critical policies, more especially human resource policies that are going to actually ensure that our human resource is actually turned around. As commissioners, we have worked with the Ministry for Women, Children and People with Disabilities. We have met to actually clarify the roles between us and the ministry in terms of delivering on the gender equality mandate. And we've also participated in the GPV Council as commissioners, as observers. We also participated in NGM committees. We've also provided input in the WICHI bill. And we've also met with the President and the Minister to discuss issues that concern the welfare of the Commission for Gender Equality. We have engaged with different stakeholders as commissioners to educate and raise awareness on issues of gender equality, challenge patriarchal perceptions, stereotypes, and take action against infringement of gender rights through implementation of appropriate treaties by conducting, more especially, the employment equity hearing. The Commission is a standard. The CEO is going to elaborate on that as well. Some commissioners have actually participated in the Progressive Women's Movement, which conference was held in August last year. Commissioners have been engaged with faith-based organizations, more especially in the Western Cape Council of Churches, churches in Limpopo, Togo, and Ndo. And we have also, as commissioners, met with the gender component of the House of Traditional Leaders to deal with gender equality matters. Also, the GCB. Fiji is also a member of the Progressive Women's Movement of South Africa. We have engaged as commissioners three political parties who held conferences last year at the ANC, the DA, and the IFP, and we have written letters to them to ensure that in their nomination processes, in their electing members of the parties, they must make sure that gender parity is observed. We have interfaced with government on gender equality matters, including policy dialogue. So he was going to actually tease more on that, what is that we do in relation to policy dialogue, but commissioners have been doing that. As commissioners and CGE, we are engaging with the Department of Higher Education, partnering with other universities, UKZN, to actually investigate and research on gender-based violence at tertiary institutions. We have engaged with institutions supporting democracy, normally called chapter institutions, and we are also a member of the Equality Review Committee in terms of the Promotion of Equality and Prevention of Unfair Discrimination Act. We've actually met with the Fiscal Commission Chairperson and CRL because most of the budgets of government, some of the policies are developed by that commission. We wanted to actually influence the policy that process in terms of gender equality. We've met with the Office of the CEO of the IEC, participated in the Forum of Institutions Supporting Democracy. For example, there is a project that we're doing together, Chapter 9 Institution, where we want to actually monitor government departments in relation to implementation of international instruments. Because we've realized that we cannot do that as an individual institution, we actually work together to do that. We've participated in the Public Protector School Governance Conference. We've held quarterly meetings with the AG to discuss Fiji financial management performance. We've engaged the Office of the Public Service Commission in relation to our commissioner's booklet. We've made submissions. We continue to make submissions to the Fiscal Commission. There's one next week or in 2 weeks' time around the issue of social grants. We've actually partnered with the Human Rights Commission on the water and sanitation project. For example, yesterday, Commissioner Stevens Mazia presented on the on the conference yesterday where we've partnered with CGS actually. Published a report on the gender implications of water and sanitation in the country. And CGE will also be attending the CRL conference. That was just showing how we work with other chapter institutions. We've engaged with Parliament on our annual report, strategic plan, 2012-2015. We've also presented to Parliament our CEO mock trial. We've engaged with the Deputy Speaker on issues that confront the CGE. We've also copied the chairperson of the committee on those issues. We've also looked at, as commissioners, on the West Bill Traditional Confidence Domination Bill. The CGE has also engaged Parliament on the review of the CGE Act. We've met with the office that supports institutions supporting democracy. We've met with Treasury to discuss our budgetary constraints and matters, the grading of CGE. We have also monitored as commissioners the following court cases. One is the case called Sunday Rapist in Israel court. We have also, as commissioners, went to KwaZulu-Natal where two girls were supposed to be, were going to be married in January and December. And as a commission, we went there and we stopped that. We were able to actually work with the government of KwaZulu-Natal and take some of those matters to the magistrate court, and those marriages were stopped. We have also made a pay application as the secretariat of a 5-year-old matter case in High Fence as well, attended that one and influenced that process as well, where a young girl was killed for multi-purposes. We've also observed the Pretoria's case and commented on this case and the general implications of this case and how the media has actually focused on this case. We have engaged with the members of the media. Commissioners have been doing interviews on a number of issues around employment equity, hearings, gender-based violence, Ogutwala report, gender topical issues, women's month activity, 15 days of activity. We've also worked with other, for example, we visited by Namibia, the National Cancer Steering Committee on Gender and Information Communication by the Parliament of Namibia, but to actually learn from the CGE on how we deal with gender equality matters. We form part of the South African Human Rights Commission and Gender Commission. We attended a conference, international conference on national human rights institutions in Amman, Jordan, and we also presented and engaged in that process. We presented the delegation of the gender unit from Nigeria, which was hosted by the Human Rights Commission. We also participated on the UN conference on rights of disabled people, more especially our focus was disabled women, and we have a report around those particular issues. Thank you, Chairperson. That was just highlighting the work that commissioners did. But over and above that, we also supported the work of the Secretariat and hold them accountable and also participated in the programs of the Secretariat. But at a high level, that's what the commissioners have been doing. Ahmad also announced here that Commissioner Holmes has joined us, sitting on the other side of the room.
Sorry, I was talking.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, and welcome, Commissioner Holmes. Honourable members, I think we should proceed with the understanding that this was just a way of introduction from the chairperson of the CGE. If you do have any comments, I think they'll be covered during our discussion. Without wasting any time, can I then hand over to you?
Thank you very much, Chair. My presentation is going to zoom in directly into activities that we as the Commission have undertaken for the period April to December 2012. these are activities as per the program of action that was presented to this committee right at the beginning of the financial year. Just to highlight, in as much as we had reported, I think I just needed to repeat that in terms of the actual activities that we undertook in the first quarter, which in the main were characterized by processes around compliance, processes around the audit process that took place, the submission of financial statements, the annual report and the like, and also included presenting this specific strategic plan and the APP attached to it to this particular committee. We have three basic departments or units that run with our programs. Just by way of background, in terms of our research department, there were specific projects that we had highlighted that we will be undertaking for this current financial year. And those specific projects related to coming up with a policy brief, which have been circulated to honorable members. Activities around the actual holding of dialogues informed by those policy briefs. Researching or monitoring and making an assessment on the victim's charter, gender barometer, research report as well, that's what we also planned to do for this financial year, looking into gender mainstreaming both at provincial and local government, monitoring the 365 days action plan that was adopted in Kopanong in 2007, and as well as building capacity for specific researchers in that department. In terms of the victims' charter, Chair and honorable members, what we were seeking to do as the commission was to ensure that we monitor and we evaluate that charter and the processes that departments have been undertaking as they were signatory to the victims' charter and they had specific obligations that they had to adhere to. And as per our mandate, we then set to actually ensure that we monitor and evaluate and come up with a report to say how well that they are doing these specific departments in terms of the victims' charter. If honorable members can remember, this has been a process or an activity that we undertake on a year-to-year basis, and we have been taking two departments per year. And for this specific period, we are looking into the activities of Department of Health and the Department of Correctional Services. For the reporting period, we finalized our plans in terms of how we are going to roll out this activity. We came up with various instruments that we are going to be using, and in the main, these were activities for the first quarter. We identified and made a selection of the different one-stop centers and health facilities and correctional facilities that we're going to be able to evaluate. And then we commenced with the field work, and we have now, at the end of third quarter, analyzed the data that has been collected. For the fourth quarter, we'll be printing, or we are actually busy printing the final report. And just to highlight, because we had already undertaken an analysis, the report, the draft report as it sits, it was indicating that there's quite a number of issues there, and we are hoping as the commission that once these reports are finalized, we will get an opportunity to sit with the committee so that we really zoom into these reports and highlight most of the issues that are coming out. It's very clear that there is lack of training for health workers on forensic health, and that is very important. I mean, with the rise of gender-based violence, we seriously need properly trained health workers to ensure that proper evidence is collected and an examination of victims of violence, which will help once people get into the process, into the different court processes. In terms of the gender barometer, this is a tool, a web-based tool that we as the commission developed, and basically in the main we wanted to monitor and evaluate gender mainstreaming within the public sector. And we initially in the last financial year, after launching the instrument, we monitored some of the national departments, and for this year we were then set to engage and get into the phase of provincial and local government. We kicked off the year by training the different personnel within the different provincial departments and municipalities. And the main thing was, this was because when we got the results of the National Gender Barometer Study in the last financial year, in some instances we had incomplete instruments that were coming back to the commission, and therefore we then decided that we should concentrate on trying to train the different people that will be expected to complete that particular instrument, and to ensure that we get proper information that will enable us to do a proper analysis in terms of how we as the country, and specifically within the public sector, we are doing on issues of gender mainstreaming. In terms of this financial year, we are basically looking at human settlements and public works, and two municipalities will be evaluated per province. In terms of the rollout plan, we started off with the training, then we gave the different departments and municipalities the instrument, and the deadline for departments to get back to us with the completed document was October 2012. And we must also highlight that because this is a new tool, we have been, as we are going along, getting some teething problems or some technical problems that we've been highlighting, and that will be helping us to ensure that we refine the tool as we go along year in, year out. And we are currently trying to also redesign it just to ensure that the number of technical problems that we met with as we were rolling out, that do not necessarily happen. At this point, the department is currently trying to analyze the feedback that we got. We must also indicate that just as last year we had problems, we still are getting problems in terms of departments meeting the deadlines that have been given for them to give back the information. We also have the 365 days action plan that we set ourselves to assess and see how far the implementation is. And similarly, with the victims charter, it's very clear that there are quite a number of issues that have not taken place. If you look into the plan was also giving quite a number of stakeholders some obligations and that they needed to look into. And when you look into it, you find that there are some problems within the public sector, private sector, civil society, and the likes. But in the main, you find that there are some civil society organizations that have really set out to do what they had to do in terms of the plan. We have circulated this particular report, and this report has been was launched during 16 days, during the opening of the 16 days. We as the commission then launched the report and engaged with various institutions, government departments, various stakeholders within the 365-day plan, including civil society. When you look into the study, you find that there really are structural and systemic problems or challenges that have hindered implementation of the plan. And when you look or try to analyze what the issues were in the main, you find that there have been serious problems in terms of proper planning. There have been issues realized in terms of lack of proper coordination and accountability. There have been issues or confusion in terms of who is doing what in the plan. And although the plan itself, if you look into the plan was costed, but there was no adequate budgetary allocation that was done for the plan, and therefore those are just in the main the highlighted issues or findings that we as the commission could tease out when we were analyzing data after the assessment that was done. The next activity that the department has, the research department has set for themselves, we have been having quite a number of studies or reports as the commission research reports that we had done, and we had not had a proper opportunity to engage with policymakers within departments. In terms of our findings and some of the recommendations that we have in our own reports. We had a land study report that we did. We had a widowhood report. We had a gender in the private sector report. We had gender water report. We had education report. And for this year, we had put ourselves to say we are going to come up with a policy brief, which have already been, some examples have been circulated. And the policy briefs are just teasing out the actual policy issues that we as the commission would be in a position to engage the different senior people in the department, or policy makers as it were in the different departments. If you look into the water study, in the water study, Our findings, just briefly, it reveals that there's general failure within the water sector to try and prioritize issues of gender mainstreaming, and there is widespread lack of understanding or knowledge of relevant gender policies and legislations, and specifically at local government. And therefore, we then came up with the brief, and we have been engaging with all the different provinces, departments in the provinces, to try and take them through our findings and engage and see what are the kind of things that they can put in place to ensure that gender mainstreaming is prioritized and actually takes place. I must indicate, as per quite a number of processes that we always engage with as the commission, and we always feel that gender is not really prioritized, and you see it even when we go through the actual policy dialogues, because when we engage and write letters to departments to indicate that we want to engage with them on these policy briefs or on the findings that we have on our research reports, we request that we must in attendance, it must be people that are at senior level positions. And more often we still get, you know, gender focal persons attending instead of the actual policy makers that we are trying to reach. So in some instances we have still seen those that we come up with a dialogue, and you find that instead of the proper people coming, you get quite a different people. I'll draw an example. For instance, we had in Mpumalanga, we had an engagement, and we then were sent with engineers and all sorts of technical people instead of the actual you know, managers that we could be in a position to engage with and try as the commission to influence their policy making processes. We have the education and report, which also had quite a number of findings when it comes to issues around eliminating gender discrimination in the education system. We had the widowhood study, and it also indicated quite a number of issues that needed or need both the public sector and the private sector to look into. Generally, a need to try and push for legislation to cover this grouping and all the other issues around access, estates, deceased estates, and the like. I have already spoken to the policy dialogues and tried to highlight some of the problems that we've been encountering with, but for this particular quarter, already 13 dialogues have been held with different departments. The next unit or department that I'm going to focus on in terms of the work that has been done for the three quarters is the legal department. And the legal department, if you remember from the APP, and I will also right at the end put the APP table so that it makes sense. It was sent through as well, so it will just make sense, you know, speaking to activities as they were contained in that actual table. For the quarter, the legal department had participated in the TCB hearings that have been taking place throughout the country. We also did our own hearings, but due to, you know, issues or lack of funding, we could not necessarily do the actual, you know, nine provincial hearings. We tried to group, you know, some of the provinces. And really our main issue here was to try and engage with the specific communities, just to try and tease out what are their understanding, what are the issues around TCB, and just try to get a sense of what is it that they would rather want to see in place, or where TCB can be revamped and all that. So for the quarter, we had one in Northwest, and really Northwest was trying to target Northwest, Limpopo, and the Free State area. As I indicated, due to issues of funding, it was quite impossible for us to go through the other provinces. And that was to enable us that when we put a submission before Parliament, our submission is informed by what is actually happening in the ground. We have done inputs in terms of our legal department. The legal department does submissions on bills that pass through Parliament that have got a gender impact on. We've done inputs and made a submission and a presentation into the CGE amendment bill. We've done inputs to the green paper on families. We have done helped come up with guidelines on Film and Publications Act. We have done some inputs on the basic conditions of employment, amendment bill, and we've done inputs into the criminal law amendment bill and the labor relations amendment bill. The department has also been spearheading the process on gender transformation hearings. What we have been doing, as we indicated even in the first quarter, when we introduced this particular activity, was to say we are going to convene different hearings in different provinces, and we will be calling private sector companies and also public sector departments just to engage and try and see what progress has been made around issues of gender transformation. We have done, CGE had a complaint from SAUFA, which is the South African Women's Football Association, which also, if you look, the complaint was really talking about issues of gender transformation within the football itself and even within SAFA. And therefore, we felt that because we were already also holding hearings on transformation, then we also held a hearing where we called in SAFA and we tried to engage and see what are the kind of things that they are doing to ensure that women's football is also promoted. We've held for the past quarter or for the reporting period, we've held hearings in Mpumalanga, in Northern Cape, and now in the last quarter we have had hearings in the Gauteng province, in the Limpopo province, and now we are going to be left right at the end of March. We will be then having Eastern Cape hearings. We are coming up with reports, and we are also hoping that we will get a slot to take the committee through some of those reports, so that they are aware in terms of how what's going on in terms of gender mainstreaming and transformation within government and private sector. For the current quarter, or for the three quarters, the legal department has engaged and reviewed 467 cases, and we have been able to close 167 files for the same period. There are quite a number of cases or litigation matters that we are involved in. We've spoken about this before. Some of these are still rolling over. You know how court processes are. The chieftaincy matter in Mpumalanga, the chieftaincy matter in Eastern Cape, and all the other matters, domestic violence and unlawful evictions, and rape cases here in the Western Cape, and some hate speech cases in the Northern Cape. The department also is charged or is leading when it comes to us monitoring international instruments to see how far government is, and as we had indicated at the beginning of the financial year, we're still going to be looking into how far we are in terms of CEDAW, Beijing, and in terms of the MDGs. Draft reports have been in place. The groups, we do this in a group form so that we ensure that all the other, we don't just use legal per se, because you still need some other elements on research and all that. So we have put groups, working groups together. We call them CEDAW Working Group, Beijing Working Group, and MDGs. And these groups have now finalized their desktop research, and they have already started to engage with different departments just to try and augment some of the information and verify some of the information that they would have come up with during their desktop research. The other department or units that we have is the Public Education and Information Department, and their work is more really around engaging, having different interventions, dialogues, seminars, workshops, and information sessions. And for the period under review, we've had maternity benefits workshops. I think this is, we had a dialogue a while back on maternity benefits for self-employed women, and there were quite a number of recommendations and matters that we needed to take forward and engage some of the portfolio committees and the likes, especially in terms of ratification of some of the parts of the ILO convention, specifically on maternity benefits. and we were still trying to identify cases that we could use as the commission, you know, to try and highlight this issue. Remember, this is a matter where we are looking at those women that are self-employed that are not given an opportunity to contribute into the UIF, and therefore if they fall pregnant during the 4 months, they are not able to then go and claim from UIF, even if they are not given choice at all. And all that we need is to at least say there must be a choice. You must have a choice of paying in or not paying in, so that at the point where you fall pregnant and you want to take maternity leave, you can be in a position to say, I will take maternity leave for 4 months and I will be able to draw some money somewhere. So 16 days activism, 16 days of activism activities, this department also always leads. They always come up with a concept document that then guides the different departments to say what are the kind of activities or campaigns that we must run with as the commission. And quite a number of campaigns were done, and more engagements on awareness and the roles and the functions of the commission, quite a number of activities to try and strengthen our partnerships and collaborate with different NGOs and other community-based organizations. And we had quite a number of activities that different provinces put in place that emanated from the concept document that was provided by the department. And 4 provinces held some mini launches of the 365 days report following the main launch that was done by national office during the opening of 16 days. There have been quite a number of interventions on LGBTI issues, some workshops and all that. There have been some dialogues that were done commemorating World AIDS Day and the like. And there have been some provinces who held interventions that were really targeting men as movements and engaging them on issues around violence against women. The department also ran or ensured that as the commission we adopt the UN Unite to End Violence Against Women campaign. And for us, we have a pamphlet that has been circulated that speaks to where that a process comes from, emanates from. And if you look into the stuff that has been circulated around, if you look into the UN process, they wear orange on each 25th of the month. And as the commission, we adopted that particular campaign. And we then tried to get some T-shirts and some scarves, which would ensure that we then also participate in that particular process. And I would urge members of the committee to also follow suit and make use of the scarves that have been and the T-shirts that will be coming. I think they are still going to be given. They will be given. They're here. And at the end, just to ensure that we also support that particular campaign. We had a training on the Africa Gender and Development Index. We engaged with the United Nations Economic Commission for Africa that is based in Addis Ababa, and we requested them to come and train the staff at the commission and commissioners on this particular tool. Because as the commission, we have an interest of, you know, looking into rolling out this tool for South Africa so that we are able as the gender commission to really come up with a comprehensive report on issues of gender. Something that is more comprehensive than what our gender barometer would seek to come up with. And they have come on their own expense to train us and engage with us, and therefore we are looking into rolling out some of the activities and also rolling out the actual, using the actual tool in the next financial year to ensure that we do have a report that would really tell us how far we are in terms of gender equality and women's empowerment. Public education and information is the one that also came up with this particular training, and they also then also sponsored two of our members to attend their own process in Addis, just to showcase how, you know, the tool is rolled out, and what is it that they look into when they sit and they try and come up with the country reports or regional reports on some of those processes. We've had consultative dialogues on sex work, and the research department compiled a document. This document was then engaged with through our public education and information with quite a number of different sectors. And the main matter here was for us as the commission to come up with an informed position in terms of sex work, but we needed to not just base our position on research, but we also wanted to interact with the different stakeholders within that particular sector. We have a CGE-NDI partnership, which really looks into issues around political participation. And that project tools have been put in place, and we will then be facilitating engagements with the different political parties, which we are hoping that in August we will be able to hold a dialogue on some of those specific matters. Just some provincial highlights in terms of some of the work that we've done. In Mpumalanga, we've been holding quite a number of roundtable discussions. We had women empowerment discussions, and this was really an initiative where we wanted the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform to come down and engage with different communities and try and highlight some of the programs that they are running, programs that are geared towards women empowerment. There are quite a number of engagements that we've done around the Western Cape area, around, you know, the killings of lesbians and the like. We've got Northern Cape. Our real highlight for Northern Cape was at the employment equity hearings, we were able to really engage specifically with some of the GFPs and highlight some of the problems that they have, which has now also helped us to come up with a specific project that will be looking into this matter for next financial year. In the Eastern Cape, quite a number of processes as well. We've been engaging even with the provincial legislature to really engage and work with them and when we are conducting quite a number of educational programs. KwaZulu-Natal, we've really been having issues around Ukutwala, and we have a survey that the chair spoke to, and in terms of some of the issues that were coming out of there. And we have issues around child marriages that we as the commission have been involved in quite extensively, also meeting with the different religious leaders in that specific province. And now, just to highlight, I had indicated that there would be a table that speaks just directly, just to give members a sense in terms of the actual APP, because it, more often what I do in the presentation is just to try and run through the highlights and some of the matters that we have gone through as the commission. But this table is the one that kind of gives you a clear indication in terms of where we are, because this would have been the table that we would have presented to this committee at the beginning of the financial year to say these are the specific activities that we will undertake, and it just highlights more in depth, you know, the kind of activities that we've undertaken from each strategic objective that we put for ourselves and the sub-strategies that we put for ourselves. And we have highlighted where there has been actual activities that has taken place. We have highlighted in some of the instances where there have been some variations in terms of activities that we have undertaken as the commission. But this is by and large a table that zooms in to try and give members a sense of how far we've gone as the commission. And I'm not going to go through this actual table. It's a 22-page document. And most of the things that have been highlighted in the table are things that I have spoken to in the actual body of the presentation. And under our strategic objective 4, which is more the strategic objective that looks internally, there have been quite a number of terms of reference that have been adopted for the committees that we've set for ourselves. Remember when we engaged this committee at the beginning of the financial year when we were presenting our strategic plan, we had indicated that we were changing now the model of having, you know, the different oversight committees on programs, but rather we are going to create what we call a Section 6 committee that would still have focus areas on the almost the different committees that we used to have, like gender-based violence, NGM, culture, religion, and tradition, and the like. So we took this time. We've now finalized. We've come up with a terms of reference. We've even come up with an advert. The purpose for this particular Section 6 committee is for us as the commission to try and draw different people that are deemed to be experts in different focus areas and try and ensure that when we then come up with our program of action, our program of action also takes into account some of the things that are coming up, having engaged with different experts in various areas. We have put together some committees that will play oversight over specific departments, and we have education and research, and then those terms of reference were finalized and it has been adopted. We have the ITC committee, the finance committee, strategic plan, monitoring and evaluation, human resources committee, and the legal committee. So for all those, we have been able to put together terms of reference and ensure that they've been adopted so that the committee can then run smoothly with the process when they undertake their oversight on some of the day-to-day activities that the different departments involve themselves in. And as the chair has highlighted, there's a commissioner's handbook, which is a policy document which has been adopted. And just to highlight that in terms of the CGE Act, we're supposed to be having plenaries that also try and consider all the quarterly reports that the secretariat put together, and all the plenaries, the three plenaries have said to consider the work that has been done by the department. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. This is part of the presentation by the CEO. Thank you so much for, you know, the comprehensive report that you have given to us. Honourable members, can I suggest that we get the financial report so that when we engage with the CGE, we, you know, encompasses both the finances and the report. Can we proceed in that fashion? Thank you very much. Over to you.
I will ask the Chief Financial Officer to give the report. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you. you, Honorable Chairperson, our Chair, CEO, Honorable Members. This report fits into the preceding presentation by our Chair and CEO, and forms it becomes a subset, basically translating every other reported activities into financial terms. The report as well will cover a period. We'll as well cover a period for 9 months since April 2012 through to December 2012. In this report, we seek basically to discuss financial performance being a translation effectively of activities that have been undertaken in the period into rand values and cents. And we also need to or seek to make a presentation around our own financial status, the health of the CG financial position, and as well take the committee through internal financial management matters that also incorporate control issues, or generally as they are called, audit issues. As well, the essence of presenting, doing this presentation, I think it's also in the spirit of the PFMA. We seek to be accountable to appropriate structures. The funds that we are talking about are funds that have been appropriated by Parliament through an Appropriation Act of 2012. And therefore, in the interest of accountability and transparency, we are doing this presentation, and then the presentation will have quite a number of, or a lot of details, but the interest of providing details is as well to give effective accountability by the Commission to the committee. For purposes of getting context, we are representing the budget as appropriated on slide 5, waiving a budget, making reference to the preceding period, the financial year 2011-12, just for comparative sake. Our budget has increased from the former financial year into the current one by 6%. However, due to economic downturns, there have been pressure on all entities that are funded by National Treasury to cut down on expenditure. And in that regard, there were directives given for us when planning forward to cut down on the budget, or on the baseline, 1% in the following financial year, 2% 2013, 2014-15, and 3% on the projected figures for 2015-16. So, in effect, at the end, the projected allocations for financial years to begin next financial year will be below inflation, because inflation is targeted at between 3% and 6%. However, our applicable projected increases have averaged to 4.4 per annum. This slide provides further detail. Our budget, or even our spending activities, are basically split into three sub-programs, being a program on the work of commissioners, governance and support, a program on corporate support, which is basically administration, IT, finance, human resources, and the last program, sub-program, would be the one on key service delivery, the core work of the commission. So in the slide, you will see that the spread is given. Commissioner's budget stood at 10 million. The one for corporate services around 17 million, and the main service delivery program at 32 million. And the overall total budget is 58.5 million.
and there's also a presentation as to what constitutes in terms of economic classification, the budget, compensation of employees as against the goods and services. We see that the compensation of employees consumes the bulk. However, the majority of the spending is basically earmarked for the core service delivery program. The total under compensation of employees, the total is 40.7 million, of which 23 million thereof is for compensation for employees who are working directly with the key CGE service delivery mandate. And that's a graph that basically indicates the spread. Another way of looking into this slide basically also represents the previous one, only to show that core service delivery consumes the majority of the allocation, 54% or 32 million in rand terms. Commissioner's program would be the third most, and corporate services consumes 27% or 17 million of the overall budget, and we don't have much funds left for capital expenditure, although we do indeed have capital expenditure needs. This is also just a graphical presentation of what has been presented previously. On slide 9, we're talking about the actual income and spending activities for the period under review. And these spending activities are directly linked to activities that were highlighted in the preceding presentations by the CEO as well as the chairperson, and talks to the overall strategic plan document of the CGE. Firstly, we deal with income and revenue. As we may all know, our budget, the allocation to CGE, is a main division within a vote for the Department for Women, Children and People with Disabilities. So we are a component in that vote, and we are receiving our transfers from National Treasury via the department. For the period under review, we have received 43.9 million, which is an equivalent of 75% of the annual allocation, and is consistent with the period. The period covers 75% of the financial year, 9 months from 12 months, 75%, so this is perfectly consistent. We have had also some sundry sources of income. And in the third quarter, we have received donations in kind. Some institutions, being the SABC and UNECA, contributed for our spending. During the 16 days, there were promotional content, flight tests in the SABC, the public broadcaster. It was a free sponsor by the SABC. We have estimated that the cost of those promos was 200,000. This is a provisional figure until it will be confirmed by statistics coming from SABC. The second contribution into our financial resources was a donation in kind by UNECA, United Nations Economic Commission on Africa. And that has been estimated to be at a value of 250 million. As well, because as we will see later on,
million.
I'm sorry. see in the up and coming slides in this presentation, the CGE is holding quite a substantial amount of cash in the bank, and that cash on hand do generate some interest income, and for the total 9 months period, we have recorded 487,000 rand interest into the income statement, and therefore the total income that we have received directly from government, received through sponsorship and donors, and interest all totals 44.9 million. Slide number 11 deals with spending patterns from the first quarter to the third quarter. Effectively, in summary, in the slide, we see that in the first quarter, we have spent 11 million, second quarter, 15 million, and in the third quarter, the spending moderated to 13.9. As we may know, as we may know that in the first quarter at the CG, the complement of commissioners were not to the level as provided by the CG Act, and there have been savings. I think for the first quarter, the underspending there can be explained by savings on compensation of employees. And then the second quarter, the cost has increased substantially to 15 million. Explanations has got to do with the activities around August month, the Women Month. The details have been indicated in the preceding presentations. And the third quarter, the expenditure has moderated to 13.9 million. So overall, for the overall period, there's an underspending of 8%. We have spent 40 million as against 43.5 million of the allocation for the 9 month period. The diagram represents what has been discussed before. It indicates the relative contribution into the total expenditure by quarter. And this slide has been included in the interest of transparency, indicating specific account at account level areas of over and under expenditure. In summary, we can check the next slide. There are spending pressures. In summary, accounts that have been drivers of spending in the period have been travel, accommodation, events, vehicle expenses. I think there we have a pressure of around 1.7 million. That can also be explained by the fact that these activities under the spending are the activities that effectively drives CGE work. Our work involves traveling to hosting events, traveling to occasions, hosting events at grassroots level, hosting high-level events with policy makers and the like. Another cost driver was depreciation, as well the ESCOM heights, tariff heights, have also impacted on the budget of the CGE. The electricity cost have impacted unfavorably against the budget by 852,000 so far in the year. The underspending account, on in contrast, compensation of employees, like we have explained, we do have vacancies. We have had vacancies for commissioners. We do have vacancies as well in the staff establishment. That has contributed. In the CEO's presentation, there was indication of a rollover of cases for matters that the Commission is litigating. That as well has made a contribution to the saving of 592,000 in the period. Overall, the net result of the overspending, underspending comes to the 3.4 million that we have indicated. indicated in earlier slide to be the overall underspending in that period. There's also a summary of how spending gaps occurred by program. Core service delivery underspent by 3.6. This is consistent as well with performance in the ATP. There's work that has been rearranged and then a lot of work that for which these funds were allocated has been done already so far in the fourth quarter. So the underspending will be utilized within the financial year. Corporate services, there have been overspending, I think, amongst others, of the key material accounts that have contributed to this overspending was the water and light account that realized amounts materially higher than what we have foreseen when we were doing the budget. And Commissioner's program, there's an underspending of 1.9 million. The significant contributor there being vacancies. And the further slides effectively shares information cascaded down on core service delivery into locations and departments, basic departments, core departments, line departments that are dealing directly with core service delivery matters. And there's an overall cumulative underspending of 3.6. For the period under review, the budget was 21.5 million, and overall we spent 17.9, close to 18 million, leaving around 3.6 as underspent. The slide number 17 also expands on the earlier slide, but at this point giving detail in terms of at item account level. As we can see, compensation of employees, the vacancies that we have had, we've been filling the organogram effectively. I think if one looks back into what has been reported for 2011-12 as per our annual report tabled in Parliament, there were significant amount of vacancies, and those vacancies have subsequently, majority of them have been filled, and there's been an intensified effort by the Commission to fill all critical vacancies they have. However, for the period under review, there are still unspent money as a result of some earlier periods in which there were no positions were not filled. So the main contributor effectively to the overall 3.6 million is saving coming from compensation of employees. Next slide deals with another sub-program, corporate support services, presented spending gaps presented per department, and variances indicated there. Overall variance is 2 million. Key driver, like we have mentioned, it's water and lights and some other small accounts making up to contribute into the overall 2 million overspending by the corporate support program. And as well, in the interest of transparency as well, there are details of specific accounts which have over or underspent, elaborated in slide 19. Slide 20 deals with the spending gaps in the commissioner's program, and the key contributor remains the fact that we have had vacancies in the first quarter, and we have had around 6 vacancies in the first quarter, and then we have had 9 vacancies in the first quarter. And now we are having 3 vacancies for commissioner positions, which were budgeted for in terms of the CG Act. This now takes us to the financial position. This is about the CGE balance sheet as at the reporting time, end of the reporting time, 31 December. Feedback is that the balance sheet is healthy. The CGE balance sheet is healthy. We don't have liquidity and solvency problem. Solvency problems would mean that our liabilities are more than assets we have, but our situation is that we have more assets than we owe people, and liquidity, we don't have any problem because our assets are mostly cash. They are liquid. They can be quickly translated to service any other debt if we have a debt, or they can the resources that we have are in cash. And overall, our overall balance sheet position is that we have more assets by 13 million than we have liabilities. That's a concern, though, that has been noted in the bottom paragraph, the fact that our property, plant and equipment, especially around IT, information technology and motor vehicles, which are very critical for our business as a commission, are very old. They need to be replaced as a matter of urgency. So there's an issue highlighted. Although we are sitting with a positive cash position, positive balance sheet, however, the assets that we have may not necessarily sustain the CGE business going forward. It's a matter that we are also engaging with National Treasury, because it's a matter that touches on NTF processes, and it's also a matter that touches on budget allocations. At this point in time, we have made, because previously we have reported surpluses which have contributed into the cash flush that we have in the previous period. However, in terms of the rules, we cannot have surpluses from previous periods without the Treasury granting such an authority. So we are engaging with them, we have written to them in accordance with the practice notes. We are awaiting feedback, but the feedback is very critical. As a commission, we have indicated how critical that is, because this has a direct bearing on the commission's work. IT and information in our systems, I think it's the biggest resource that we need to protect. And given the age and the absoluteness of our IT system, I think the situation is getting to be dire. However, that information through formal processes have been communicated to the Executive National Treasury. Slide number 23 effectively gives a confirmation of what we discussed in the preceding slide. Giving ratios, the ratio is to say that our assets are 3.4 times more than our liabilities, and we have more cash. I think most of our cash, if you look into the assets that we have, cash, it represents 67%, two-thirds. Which is 3:1. And we don't have, as an institution, going concern challenges. There's no question about whether the CG will be operating tomorrow because of financial situations. There's no question about it because of what I've highlighted. Our balance sheet is healthy. The further information has also been submitted with a fuller report like I said, in the interest of transparency, there's an attachment to the presentation on financial statements. It's a full report that has been given to plenary with all narratives. So it can be, it has been provided for further perusal by the committee as and when. And the last part of the presentation deals with the financial management and administration. Basically, this is to reaffirm our presentation for the first quarter, in which we informed the committee that we are moving in terms of our turnaround strategies. We are moving, things are getting better. We are moving towards fully complying with what's required by the PFMA, and there have been specific actions that have been highlighted in the auditor's report by the AG, and those matters are also being followed through. Actions have been taken to make corrective actions. May I also make a correction on the last bullet, where it's written action plans in place to effectively rectify some of, it should be all of, the already known audit issues. And the other attachment, also in the interest of giving more information also for perusal by committee, it's a report that was tabled by the Secretariat for oversight by plenary of commissioners. It has been forwarded through for further reference in the future. And that concludes my presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your presentation. She is very much inspiring. But members, can we take 5 minutes break for tea? Please, just 5 minutes just to breathe.
Thank you. Are you going to have dinner?
Yeah, okay.
Did you show this? Did you show this?
Afterwards, on irregularity, she travel claims. Afterwards, on irregularity, she should bank it
out. Yeah, that's one of the
terms. Yeah. Oh, challenges to the contractual process.
Yeah.
But this one is like a last week. Have you got this? Have you got this? You can't talk about it. You can't talk about it. Why not other bodies?
comment on that one.
But you know, if I
were
you, I would take my
okay.
The other issue, Chair, is the issue of the
gender transformation hearing. You said you met with SAPA. I think we saw it last year. But we are not sure that have you ever met with them again, a follow-up meeting with them just to check if there's any progress that has been made, because we are complaining to even us that female dominant sports is not given a priority in this country. Recently, we are just seeing Netball South Africa. They want to launch a Premier League, but they're not getting any support either from the SASCOC or even government. So I think there's a need for you, and not only in SAFA, but most of the all federations, like your rugby, your cricket, and most of the federations that you're having in our country, does not prioritize women sports. The other issue is the issue on the violence against women campaigns. There's a lot of duplications amongst government departments. We'll check the issue of campaigns that are done by the Portfolio Committee, the Department of Women, Children, Persons with Disabilities, and yourself too. And what we are seeing is that violence has gained momentum now. Every day we are just reading about stories that are painful, women are killed, and all sort of things, but it seems as if we are not getting there. I don't know whether we have to change the approach or what is it that we can do as the collective, because we're working separately, isolated, with different budgets there, and utilizing too many budgets for those campaigns, but we don't see the impact thereof in our communities. The other issue is the issue of the cases. You indicated that there are 167 files that were closed for this year, but you have not indicated the total number of cases that you have in your offices, and whether you have any cases from the previous financial year that has been recorded as the rollover. And the cases or your litigation cases, you only indicated that you've got 8 cases that you have litigated, and mostly are in Western Cape. Hence your legal representation is one of your key mandates. Why 8? Why only 8? Maybe just to give us an explanation why the only 8 in the entire financially. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mostly covered by my colleague, but I will have a question here on slide 14. Policy dialogue. The situation indicates that it has held certain policy dialogue, which different departments. I would like to know which department. And lastly, the chairperson make mention of engaging 3 political parties. I would like to know what happened with the other political parties that is engaged. Thank you very much.
No, the first thing is to congratulate you because of the healthy financial report. The first question, when introductory remarks were made, and I thought it the last point, I wish when you report next time, you could tell us about gender equity, especially it looks like you're focusing on public sector. In how are women doing gender equity doing in private sector? Maybe through the Department of Labor, we could hear that not just in terms of women getting employed, but also the hierarchy, the division of labor hierarchically. And also we are interested in the traditional communities, how women are doing. Are they allowed these days to sit at the crawl? I know they are female chiefs, but are they allowed to sit in the crawl and deliberate on matters of the community with men? Because that was to preserve a prerogative of men in the past. Are they also allowed, how are they doing in churches? Are they allowed to be priests these days? For both mainstream churches and the independent churches, your apostle and Zion churches, are they given status there to perform as pastors? Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you very much for the Commission for this report they gave us today. Mine, in some instances, are just questions of clarity. On slide 10, we spoke about the 365 National Action Plan. The CEO said they had experienced some challenges, and she said various stakeholders did not come to the party, but whether she can just shed more light on what actually led to the challenges and which stakeholders were the main culprits in this plan not being implemented or not getting off the ground. Then with regards to your policy briefs, and I see we've got some copies here and they look wonderful and they've got lots of interesting information in it. I wanted to know, you said you lobby the department, once you've done the policy briefs, you've identified challenges, you then go, for example, to the Department of Labour or to a local municipality. You, in some instances, give input into legislation, but what happens afterwards? Do you just make the input and then leave them, or do you continuously go back and monitor and put pressure on various stakeholders and individuals that you engage in? Also, I wanted to know, do you have some sort of arrangement with regards to these policy briefs, an arrangement with the GCIS, for example, to get this information into some centres, so that grassroots communities can actually access your pamphlets and policy briefs? Then with regard to the document that regards strategic objectives, 1 April 2012 to 31 December 2012, on slide 1, one of the targets not met, you say researchers are working towards, and it's the very first point, researchers are working towards completing the first draft of the report before the end of January 2013, and this is the gender barometer tool, or to evaluate and enhance the tool. It's a report. I want to know whether this target for January 2013 has been met. There's also one on slide 5 where you talk about evaluating the implementation of the Victims' Charter. Also, a new deadline set for 20 January 2013 was set for submission of draft reports. Was that deadline met? With regards to the, you've given us assurances that all audit matters have been attended to, but in the Auditor General's report, for example, of the 56 planned targets that you had last year, only 25 were achieved. And I just wanted to know, with regards to all the challenges that the Auditor General raised last year, whether you've put sufficient measures in place to ensure that when you come back to us this year, that these issues would have been resolved. I refer to specifically the targets, the accounting officer not taking effective steps to prevent irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure. I wanted to know if all of these issues that were raised by the Auditor General, whether all of them have been adequately addressed. With regard to the vacancies, you again mentioned vacancies, but I feel that every time when we come before these meetings, we talk about vacancies. I want to know exactly how many vacancies and when do we expect to fill these vacancies. I'm just wrapping up. With regard to your oversight over specific departments, I'm talking about government departments and the equity targets. What is the status in this regard? If you can just give us an update. And lastly, when it comes to your financials, I see a lot of money is spent on telecommunication expenses as well as travel and accommodation. I would like to know whether the CGE has actually gone into partnership with various service providers. For example, have you approached budgets, for example, and said, we're a Chapter 9 institution. In order for us to execute our mandate, we travel quite a lot, and therefore we hire cars on a daily basis. Have you ensured that you've actually gone into any sort of arrangement with them to ensure that you get the best prices? And also the same for telecommunication costs, because I believe when Women's Department appeared before us for many years, they in fact were operating on the most expensive cell phone packages.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ensuring that when it comes to telecommunication costs and travelling costs that you're getting the best deal? That's probably the crux of my question. And then lastly, I was shocked this morning to read that in the Cape Times on page 3, a girl that was sold by her own parents for sexual favours to the tune of 20 rand. The parents were arrested with 5 others and have been freed on 500 rand bail. And I just wanted to know with regards to our sexual violence and abuse programs, whether these are the sort of issues that the Commission for Gender Equality will be taking up and looking into. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chetha. Thank you for the presentation. on slide 8, on slide 8 of the presentation, basically from slide 7, the gender barometer, where you deal with human settlement and public works, you've got the submission date there to be 2012 October. I wanted to know, have they submitted, what is the status, or are they going to wait for you to redesign the instrument to become simpler for them and then submit what is actually happening? And then on the 365 days of action plan, you say you met with stakeholders, that is public sector, private sector, civil society. It will be interesting to know exactly from public sector which departments did you meet with, even private sector, and maybe give us a category, how did it go in terms of compliance with the 365-day action plan, the implementation of it, actually. Because in the summary findings on slide 10, you actually talk about the lack of coordination and accountability, capacity issues. So it will be interesting to know which category actually had what challenges or in terms of implementation. because now my worry is that this was actually adopted in 2007, you mentioned, in Kopanong, and to date we still have, I'm not sure whether they're still teething problems or are we talking about walking or crawling problems now. then you talk about inadequate state budgetary allocation, but when the financial came, it was like all is well, all is good in terms of finance. So if you can just try to mirror the slide on page 10 in terms of budgetary allocation and the financials in terms of the presentation we just had now. And then on slide 14, you talk about departments here. On your last paragraph, you say 13 dialogues, policy dialogues have been held with departments. I mean, it will be interesting which departments, because now when you go to your slide 27 to 29, we only have 5 provinces highlighted in terms of not only dialogues but different activities between yourself and those departments. So it will be interesting to know actually these 13 dialogues, which departments were involved in terms of what you have here. And then there's the GFPs on the same slide 14, that seniors do not attend these. They send GFPs. What is GFPs?
Gender focused persons.
Okay. For me, which will
gender focused person, which will sound like they are the relevant people, but anyway, you'll explain. Because I thought it's ground. I'm trying to say that maybe there's a certain level of employees today. They send people who are not supposed to actually be there, you know, because they don't want to be answerable at the end of the day. Okay, you'll just explain to me why do you feel their involvement or, you know, was not what you expected then. And then on slide 17, I'll try to be first chairperson. Okay, I think it has been covered, that one of the SAFA. And then employment equity, you only had, I think, one with one province. What is the status with the other provinces? Your employment equity hearings. What is the progress? And then you say hearings for other provinces will be held in the last quarter. Now that we are in the last quarter of 2012-2013, it's tricky. Has this happened within this last quarter, or it's still to happen between today and the 31st? If you can just clarify, or are we talking about the last quarter now in terms of the next financial year that starts on the 1st of April? And then the issue of only Y8 on slide 19, litigation. I think I would like to add on to say, out of how many litigations received in that financial year? And then slide 22, everywhere you say provinces, four provinces, some provinces. Can you just give us, you know, highlights of which provinces have done what? You check your bullet, two provinces have developed this. You check your bullet, three, four provinces. The last bullet, some provinces. It will be interesting to know, because we come from these provinces, so that when we go back to our constituency, we are very, very informed. Because people do ask us questions. And then on slide 23, the CGD adopted the UN Unite to End the Violence Against Women. When was this adopted exactly, and is there any report expected from you? If so, what are the deadlines? Have you complied with the deadlines? And then the last question, Chairperson. Yeah, on slide 25, a position paper will be adopted in the fourth quarter. This quarter, it's the same questions in terms of time frame. This quarter, or are we talking about the new financial year's quarter? That's why I was asking, what is the status? Are there any reports that they need to submit, and what is happening? The last one, slide 27, tell us about the other provinces, Gauteng, Northwest, Limpopo, and Free State. What is happening? Actually, it's linked to the previous question. To say, you say 13 dialogues have been held, but at the same time you give us five highlights in provinces. So tell us more about the other ones, just to have an idea. Especially Gauteng, you know Gauteng, I mean, many things happen in Gauteng, and is the most populated province, and it's small. So we need to know exactly what is happening in terms of all these gender issues there. Thank you,
Chairperson. Yeah, today I'm lost. Thank you, Chair. Today I'm lost. But this on page 10, the members spoke on that, on the plan that was costed, but inadequate state budgetary allocation. I cannot see why any plan or why any activity is started without doing any financial costing on it. If before one can start any project, one needs to know if there will be, or if whoever needs to implement, or whoever needs to do the project has financial assistance. Why did the department still move ahead on this, knowing that financial assistance is an issue there, or is will be a problem? And then I have on page 21, maternity benefits. Why was COSATU the only one that was included in this dialogue? Why not other entities or other bodies that works with women issues? I know a very excellent one, Civic Care Lay, which really does wonderful work amongst women. Why were they not included? Why COSATU? Is there a special reason for that? And then most of the other questions that I wanted to ask, I hope, were covered. My other question then is,
were there any disciplinary action against any employees taken during the period under review, and what was the outcomes? And I'll be very short with my questions. And then the other one is performance bonuses. Were any performance bonuses paid to any of the commissioners, and how was, and what was the amount paid, and to whom was it paid? And then private donors. I see you identified two of your private donors. Were these the only private donors that you had or that assisted the commission? Can you give us relevant details if there were any other? And yeah. And then the chief operational officer position, is that filled or is it still not filled? And if it is not filled, because I view this as a very serious position, why has this not been filled up to now? I'll pick that up. And then, did you encounter any situation of maladministration or misconduct in connection with the affairs of the commission in any way? And then I think a previous member spoke on the findings of the AG's report. What were those findings? Did you attend to the findings? Did you rectify the findings? And then my next question, do we encounter any problems in the finance department of the commission due to staff complement and skills, or are you satisfied with the current situation? I'm asking this because of the recent AG's report that was brought out to us. Though only 9 or 8 departments were under review there, I just want to know what your situation is. Any irregularities in the commission's bank account? And I think you need to explain to us, while I'm on that point, you need to explain to us in more detail your balance sheet. Because you are acquainted with what you paid. We are not. And I say here, we need more info on explaining the activities that was paid for, as we see it in the balance sheet. Garnishing orders, were these for employees? Or can you explain that one too? Overtime that was paid by the department, why was it paid and to whom was it paid? Bonus leave, and I see there's a heading for allowances too, quite a substantial amount. Transport hire, does that relate to the fact that your vehicles are very outdated and old and perhaps stationed and then you need to move? And then there was just another one, if I pick it up I will come to that. I think we needed a thorough explanation on this, on the balance sheet. Do you have any consultants? My question was actually, does the commission make use of consultants? And if so, give relevant details. How many consultants do you have? The cost involved? And the reasons for using these consultants? Is it a shortage of skills in your department? Or what is the situation there? The NA is updated on the progress relating to the court case involving the former CGE chairperson. Has that now been finalized? Can you please elaborate on that? Thank you. Okay.
Thank you. Before you, maybe can I just add to some of the questions? I think the overall question by members on the recommendations that were made by the ATO committee, and also the recommendations of the Auditor General. I think it would be very helpful if you can, give us all those that have been, implemented, those that you were able to implement. I think that's what the members are saying, to say what is it that you have. So if we can get a list of all those that you were able to implement.
And then my second question would be on the sub program. You know, your slide 15 of this financial statement. Whilst we acknowledge that there was this surplus, you know, of funds, but at the same time having vacant, vacancies. How do you, what is the equivalency if you had these vacancies filled vis-a-vis, the surplus? And then the third one has been, asked. There are so many activities here which are also carried out by other departments. Members have already highlighted on them. For instance, mainstreaming of women's empowerment and gender equality considerations into government's policies and governance processes. There are departments already who are also, I think what we are keen to know is the relationship. How do you coordinate? What is the relationship between yourselves and those? For instance, the linkages with the department's integrated monitoring and evaluation strategy, which is also done by the department, especially the Department of Women, Children and People with Disability. How do you coordinate those? What is your relationship, with that department? And then lastly would be, I think that this one has been asked, but just for interest sake, in your report, you spoke about the maternity cases, that where you negotiated with Kosatu. But I just want to find out as to what do you do, to help those who are on maternity, so that when they come back to work, they find their work. Because most often you find that some of them, they lose, their work. They are not able to come back into their jobs. Some of them, they are even being retrenched or dismissed. Is there anything that you are doing regarding that?
My apologies, Chairperson. I actually forgot to ask one other question. I wanted to ask with regards to the media outreach. I see you spend a very little amount of money on media outreach, and I think we've often said that the problem with the Commission is it's not visible to the grassroots communities, to people in rural areas. And I wanted to know whether you've looked at new innovative ways to make yourself more accessible. I was thinking possibly, have you engaged community radio stations and community newspapers? Because I think that would be, if you're able to engage them to get your message out there, then that would be an ideal way. And I just wanted to know whether in this new year ahead, whether you've actually considered that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. I was counting, we have more than 60 questions. I was writing under each member. But we try and answer them. All of us commissioners and CEO are going to answer those. Let me start with the last one around communication. As new commissioners, when they came in, that's the first issue that they raised. And in the next week, when we present on our state plan and our performance plan, we see that we have actually factored that in to utilize computer stations. Also, they're not coming cheap as well. We thought that they're cheap and they're not. But they are better than other mainstream media. But it's something that we can always use. I must also talk to the issue of bonuses as well, because it's reflected that Yes, the commission did pay bonuses to staff members who did well for the previous financial year. I think that needs to be noted. For 2011-2012 financial year, not from April to December, but is reflected in the current financial documents because it was paid during this term. And the chief financial officer will speak to those issues. Chairperson, I know when you look at the Gender Commission and you try and look at our programs, but the thin line that the Gender Commission differentiates itself from other institutions is that we are a monitoring body. Whatever we do oversight and we do monitoring. Other departments, including the Department of Women and Children, is monitoring our department, but still an implementing department within government. As the reports that we provide, I know there's a lot of debates around this, because the other critical issue as well is with this department there is no funding legislation, so we rely on the strategic plans and so on. But with the CGE, at least it's teased out, because what we do exactly what is in the CGE Act on monitoring, on education and so on. But with this department, I think we've clarified our role in terms of monitoring, in terms of, for example, in terms of international instruments, they write reports to the UN. Our role would be to actually monitor and write report to Parliament to actually raise issues of concern, but that has been cleared. We've had meetings with the minister as well to try and clarify that, because face value when you look at this program looks the same, but the monitoring part becomes very, very critical. And also what is also critical for us is litigation and also making sure that we take cases to court as a gender commission. That is also important. And also holding not only the department but even private sector, there was a question around private sector, what we do. There's employment equity hearing. The report is being finalized now, where we've actually called private sector and some industries to appear before the commission to present on their employment equity. And in that report, Chairperson, you'll see, because we are finalizing it, and I think April, May, the report will be ready, to see that private sector is lagging far behind in terms of gender equality in this country. And in those hearings, in the first one, Chairperson, you were there, they are also arrogant. One of them even said that I didn't even know that there is an employment equity in this country, in the Employment Equity Act. So those are the issues, but we need to actually make sure that we engage Parliament, we engage this, because we also feel that this portfolio committee is critical to these processes, together with the portfolio committee on labor. That's one. So in terms of dealing with private, and we deal with everybody, we deal with private sector, we deal with private bodies, NGOs, we can even ask Parliament to account in relation to gender equality matters, Parliament itself, and so as an institution. So that's the work of the Gender Commission in terms of the Act. But you are also, as a Gender Commission, supposed to report to Parliament now in terms of the work that we do. The issue of consultancy, the CEO is going to speak to that, how many we have, and the issue of surpluses as well. And the Chairperson of Finance is also here. I'm not going to take all the questions, but I'll take those. With COSATU, I'll take those that are politically related in nature. I'm going to take those questions that are
sensitive of nature.
Yes. That is the word.
The issue with COSATU, why COSATU was taken, there was the involvement of COSATU. For us, COSATU is involved in the process of maternity benefits as a union, and therefore we saw them as a partner in this, and as a non-governmental, because the CGE Act has stated very clearly that we can work with like-minded institutions when it comes to gender. They have a gender unit dealing specifically with this particular matter, and therefore the Gender Commission, we feel that they actually work with them in terms of taking this forward. But we also invited other institutions and other political parties as well to actually get involved. So
that was on. So we felt that we should actually work with them. And we're still going to actually roll this out and work with our institution in relation to this particular, and also at least in terms of, because South Africa has not rectified the ILO convention when it comes to this matter, and therefore we need to actually campaign around that. The issue of provinces is gonna look into that. I want to take this issue by honourable member, I think it's Monk, around the issue of cases. That you have only 8 cases. Litigation is expensive. If we can litigate all the cases, we can, the 48 million will just go. We have to actually work with lawyers, with our own lawyers and so on. Therefore, we always select precedent setting cases in most cases, as much as we deal with all other cases. But we have other ordinary cases that we take. For example, if you look at our slides, you can see that we have taken about 467 cases over and above that, also taking litigation cases. When I remember raised the issue about the issue of traditional committees and so on, we also select in terms of traditional communities and so on. For example, some of the cases we are taking around the issue of chieftainship to allow women to actually take the throne. So we are very, and there is a committee chaired by our advocate in court, the legal committee, which selects and seeks the cases that we can actually litigate. But when we cannot litigate, we always work with other partners, non-governmental organizations, to ensure that those cases are not lost, but somebody else takes them up. So, but the issue of finances as well is associated. But we are very mindful of the cases that we take that are going to actually assist in terms of taking the gender equality forward. I think I can just stop here. Oh, the other one is around political parties. Why we engage only 3 to address the issue of sensitive? Why are we involved with only 3 political parties? We involve all political parties. Now we're writing a letter going forward. CEO spoke about the CGE and NDI partnership. Because we've realized as the commission that for gender equality to happen, we must be involved, make sure that you also try and influence political processes. Because for women to come to parliament, they come through the ticket of political parties. Therefore, there is no way that we cannot involve that process. And at CGE, we have a project where we are engaging now political parties around women representation. It has also the Union of Parliamentarians as well has also reported that as much as there's an increase in women participation in parliament, but it's very, very slow and sluggish. And therefore we are going to ensure that we involve political parties in this NDI process. We are doing a research now at CGE that we'll be doing, and we hope that come August, September this year, the report will be completed. We are going to involve women parliamentarians, women political leaders, ordinary women, to give us more insight into the experiences of women in political parties. So, but we involve those 3. We wrote letters to them because they held conferences last year purely on that. Because we're going to elect, and we wrote to them, we said, you must observe the principle of gender equality, this and that. So at least when they go, and all political parties, they responded to us to say, this is what we're going to do, and this is what we've actually done immediately after the conference. Even those that are going to actually have that conference, what they're going to do that. The standalone is that project I'm talking about. We're engaging political parties to ensure that the research is completed. So very quick, I think I wanted, and the one on child marriages, I'll give it to you, Commissioner. The one on child marriages, Honorable Kekan in KZN, there was that's another role of the Gender Commission chairperson, because as a Gender Commission we can come in with the power from the CGE Act and say we can stop this marriage. If you don't want to do that, we're going to take you to court. So what actually happened, we were in a community radio station Honorable Funder Merve, there was a discussion in a community radio station, and a member of the family phoned us to say, we heard you on the community radio station, there's a girl who's going to be married next week, can you intervene? So immediately we wrote to the MEC for Social Development in KZN, we wrote to the Commissioner of Police in KZN to say, can we meet immediately? And they did not, they just met with us within five hours, and were able to actually write a letter CGE to go to the family of that 13-year-old, and were able to stop the marriage, and the child, that child is very happy to say she didn't want to marry that man. But I think the story was the man was going to be married by the elder sister, but the elder sister got pregnant by the boyfriend whom she's saying she loved. And then now the family said this one should actually replace, because it already taken lobola. So those are so that the issues. The other one, now because the family does not want to comply with the CGE, the child has been taken out of the family, is in a place of safety, and was dealing with that particular matter. So those are, but those things don't get reported. And those are the achievements that the CGE is always, and the Act empowers us, Chairperson, to do that. I know that this committee as well is dealing with the matter in Limpopo, where a 13-year-old was married to a Sangoma, and CGE as well is also monitoring that case. So just received a report, which are still investigating, where a 60-year-old woman has married an 8-year-old boy. So we are investigating that. So it's a ritual marriage. So those are some of the things that we are actually trying to deal with. But I don't want to finish all the questions. So I'll ask Commissioner Stevens Mazia to respond, and then I'll give them to the CEO to each other.
It depends if Home Affairs. So we invite the respective departments, the private sector. We have, for an example, if I can cite an example, and also give feedback in terms of Northwest. We had an example, Eskom, Anglo-American, Water Board, and Human Settlement. And we also had Metro. In Gauteng in specific, we had the city of Johannesburg, Tshwane, Mogale City, and other municipalities. Our expectation is, one, that we target the decision makers, the head of the department, or the municipal managers. The reason being is we are going to quickly explain, take you through the process that we follow. These policy briefs and dialogues are normally shared by the resident commissioner in the specific province, and also the head of the department for research and the team. We conduct a study, then we issue invitations. And upon the invitations, we also then inform the invitees that there is going to be the following process. One, there's going to be a presentation in terms of the actual findings. Two, there's going to be engagement, robust engagement, in terms of the findings, because what we normally inform stakeholders is we do not want to produce a report that was not interrogated, whereby we find certain gaps. So we allow engagement, and thereafter we craft way forward. In the way forward, we've got the following expectation. One is a specific program, and the province should identify whether there will be in the province a process of owning up to the findings, whether it is to go to the provincial premiers to present the gaps in terms of the findings, two, or whether there is a need for a summit or a dialogue in terms of the province for the findings. Three, is there going to be a mechanism? Because in some provinces there's already institutional arrangements where there's a mechanism of committees that structures the Office of the Status of Women, other forms of structures that's in place. Therefore, the whole idea is for us to put a program of action in place.
in related to the findings and craft a way forward. The role of CGE provincial offices and the national thereafter is that we monitor the actual commitments made during the policy briefings. Those actual commitments that were clear time frames, clear implementation plans, and that will lead us into a significant process of monitoring and measuring whether what we found in the studies and what we actualized in the implementation plan is realized in action, in particular to redress the imbalances, so that we do not have beautiful policy documents that have been circulated without application on the ground. And we do normally hold this policy briefing with the gender focal persons. They do attend because what head of department does or municipal managers does, they do bring along their team. So the reason why we are advocating and requesting that the head of the department or the NM should attend is precisely there could be some decisions that need to go back to the executive level of the department. Immediately there's buy-in, there's a clear understanding, and also it allows the gender focal persons to open up to CGE and say, in any case, if they attend, when they go back to the relevant department, it is an uphill to be listened to by the head of the department. It is better when we invite the head of the department or the MMs, whereby they themselves come, experience the process, participate and make commitments. We've also had private sector. We had hospitals. We also managed to find from their employment equity and their processes within the workplace in terms of implementation that they've got gaps. The private sector disclosed to us that they really enjoy the issue of the policy dialogues because they can take it back to the CEOs in terms of application. I'm also going to go in terms of the employment equity hearing question. No, let me first go to slide 10 in terms of the 365 days national action plan. In terms of the report that we have, in more elaboration, why this Kopanong resolution is reflecting, and it's also in our objective, CGE's role is to monitor the actual implementation of the Kopanong resolution. And in this case, the responsible department that is convening and responsible is the Department of Women, Children and Persons with Disabilities. Therefore, if we have to report, we have to then inform, because CGE is an observer on the National Council, in the capacity of myself. The council was launched last year in Rustenburg through the department. The council held its first meeting this year. During that council first meeting, it was to craft the aims and objectives and the role of council. The council itself has not yet even nominated and appointed the deputy chair, because you must remember the deputy president of the country is the chairperson of the council. So in that activity, CGE's role is to make sure whilst we are participating as a member of observer council, we also review in terms of the application of the plan. We did in our report give the department and also the council a very clear outline of our findings. One, the lack of coordination. We in fact in council, in the first council meeting at CGE, requested that the department must take the council for 2 years in an incubator process, whereby the council do not go without the budget, without the secretariat, without the clear line of coordination, because that was a gap. So in that first council meeting, it was approved that, yes, the department will take the responsibility, including the role of the secretariat, until council proceed with the application of their role. Secondly, in terms of the coordination of the council, the composition, there's a lot of council members that come from other sectors, and those respective sectors have got a lot of research done. One of the activities that council want to do is to make sure there's research in terms of gender-based violence. I think this links to the honourable member's question pertaining to the fact that there's a lot of work done, and there's a lack of coordination, and there's a lack of linkage. So the role of this council is to save the country, to make sure there is coordination, there's linkage, and there's accountability and reporting. The role of CGE is to make sure that that does happen. Hence,
council, in plenary we took a decision. After lengthy deliberations as our role as commissioners, and if we are going to be in council as a full member, then we might oversight and lose our responsibility. Because our responsibility is even to monitor council. And therefore we could not be locked into decisions made by council. Hence we sit there, we participate, and we caution council. Precisely on exactly what honorable members are saying, there's a lot of duplication, there's a need for coordination, there's a need for us to also make sure that our integration is taking place with clear plans. So that whole process about council, it is one of a very difficult situation for CGE to say, tick, we've done the report, because there was implementation. Unfortunately, there was no implementation. Chair, I see there's a hand for honorable members. In terms of the question of the employment equity hearings, CEO will also respond, but also just to give honorable members the process. We have completed all the employment equity hearings. What normally happens there, it is a process whereby we monitor, except one. Eastern Cape is coming next week. That's the last outstanding one. Thank you, Commissioner Wallace. We have got the process whereby there is a presence of 5 commissioners. The commissioners will all be present to ensure that we also invite, in terms of employment equity number 55, of 1998, the compliance, the statement is sent to the Department of Labor, we monitor that process. We also make sure that there is a presence of the heads of the department. We also make sure that there is a presence of the public in the specific province. Public could be any invitee, including the media, whereby they will then have the right to participate in terms of seeing the compliance. We also invite the private sector, and we've seen in terms of the private sector invitations, the response, where we have some of the private sector not adhering to the Department of Labor compliance, that we then make further follow-ups. We have been in a situation, in some situations also, subpoenaing, because there have been some departments who confirmed, send a report and were absent. So we then exercise our powers as CGE to make sure that we subpoena them to come and to account in terms of that process. But that process will not necessarily delay the CGE in terms of completing our report, because we can't be held back by those outstanding invitees who've submitted, confirmed, and there was no show. Therefore, we will produce the report on time, in order for us to have the process to account in according to the compliance. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Chairperson, on the issue on slide 10, I actually wanted to know the actual feedback. I do understand that you are monitoring an evaluating body, not an implementing. So that's what I actually wanted, especially when it comes to the budgetary, to say their plans were costed, but I mean they were not budgeted for. Then it means it won't be implemented eventually, or there might be technical problems in terms of financial implementation. And then the other one, The 365 one, also I do understand that you monitor, you do not, it's actually still the same thing, you monitor, you do not implement, yes. But I wanted to know, in terms of, okay, you did give the private sector, I wanted to know the departments that you actually dealt with within the public sector, just a list. Because remember, I linked my question to that one to say you highlighted only 5 provinces. Thank you.
Thank you. The CEO will respond. on that particular just a follow up on the departments, including the provincial departments that would have dealt with. Can I just see or respond to that, to those ones? I think even around the issue of employment equity, I think the commissioner tried to actually list those departments that have actually been involved. But I can say briefly that we have involved correctional services, we have involved education in provinces as well. We have involved social development. So we will actually continue with the list. But the list is long. It depends on national and provincial. Yeah. Thank you. Can I ask Commissioner Hoss to say something before the CEO and because I think also Chairperson, the Chief Financial Officer, will need to actually put something up and try and explain some of the things as well, as requested by the committee.
Yes, thank you. I just want to respond to the question of the our visibility in the media. When we started out as the new commissioners, we asked for a communication strategy. And then we took a decision to involve a consultant to draw up a very wide-ranging communication strategy that will involve radio, the print media, community radios, and social media. And we have, in our last plenary, we've looked at the draft of this policy. And we have decided that this is a very good policy, and that we will adopt the policy. But if we've also been tracking our own visibility in the media, and it's been much better than in the past. We have had in the print media a lot of exposure. We've had a lot of exposure on radio, and specifically in the different provinces on community radio. So we're trying very hard to give ourselves the visibility that will also expose our work to the community. And I think that since the new commissioners have come on board, there's been a change. And once we start to implement this new communication policy, I think it will even improve more. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I have noted that some of the questions that were asked by Honourable Murray, in as much as we will give a written report, but if you look into the 365 days report that I've circulated, right at the end, we have tried to do an extra or a table that indicates what were some of the achievements, what were the objectives, what were the achievements, which department, and you'll find that the plan runs through from the plan in itself. It was a plan that was going to be dealt with by civil society, like I indicated, like a public sector and all that. And if you look into the plan, you will find that Department of Justice, for instance, had specific things that they had to do. Department of Education, Department of Correctional Services, and all that. So if you look into that table, we have tried to capture, to say, in terms of the specific thematic areas that were highlighted by the plan, what were the objectives of that, and what were the achievements that were done, and what are the actual challenges that we still are facing. I think which is why we would really, Chairperson, through our chair, to want to really request to have a slot where we just deal with the actual reports that we get as the commission, because that would give more information for parliamentarians and members, so that they can also help us, in terms of holding some of the departments accountable, because these departments, at the end of the day, they report to this particular parliament. So just to highlight that, just to say those are specifically listed in the report. Honourable Saike, yes, in terms of our pamphlets and our materials. We have, you will be glad to see, if you look into the actual table that I have I had presented, you know, that speaks directly to its base, that speaks to the actual activities. You will see that we have indicated that our gender-based violence pamphlet, our human trafficking pamphlet, and our MDGs pamphlet have already now been translated into Sotho and Tswana. It is very expensive, and it's impossible for us to go all out all at once. So what we've tried to do, if you look into our strat plan, we have put a few languages that we will try and do for this year. And if you look next week when we come and present our strategic plan for the next financial year, it will be clear that activity is still there to try and now see which other materials to be translated into some of the Nguni languages. So we are mindful of that, and we have already started processes to ensure that translations are going to actually taking place in terms of our materials and all the other things. I think in terms of policy dialogues, I think Commissioner Stevens Mazia tried to really highlight. And just to highlight, I think there was a specific question that was asked to say which specific provinces. We do all the provinces. Gauteng, for instance, had their gender mainstreaming in the water sector. It was held on the 6th of November. They held their employment equity in the private sector last week. We have Limpopo that also had their water policy brief on the 7th of November. So we have quite a number of dates, and what we try and do, because otherwise I know that each time I present before this committee I always have problems, because sometimes when I talk too much I'm asked to stop and I'm told that, you know. So what we try and do is just to highlight, not to say the other provinces that are not there have not performed. What I will do is over and above, you know, the presentation that has been given, we will give a full word report that we place before plenary, because in there then we try and we cover each and every activity and yeah. each and every province. Yeah. So what we will do is we'll then also submit that word document that we do for commissioners. But what we have in those slides are just some form of highlights, just to showcase, summarize some of the provincial activities that are taking place. And I will link that as well with the question that was asked on saying that in some of the slides that we've been saying some departments and all. If you look at that, we're talking specifically about the 16 days of activism. And what we normally do as the commission, at national office, at national level, we draw up a guiding document for all the provinces to say this is our team and these are the kinds of activities that you can look into. But we want them to be flexible and they know the provincial flavor. So what normally happens is they would then come up with a list of activities which we can also provide to say for the 16 days of activism, these are the activities that Limpopo put for itself, these are the activities that Mpumalanga, Northwest and everybody else did for 16 days. So we try and not tell them what to do. So some would choose to say we think that we want to really engage on GBV. We are high on GBV in the province, and therefore we will then take up the 365 days. It's not to say everybody must just, you know, go 365 days. We try and allow them that space depending on the kind of issues that are coming on the ground from their own provinces. So when I send the Pula report, the word report, I will also send you a calendar of the actual events that have taken place on all the different provinces, because then it will be clear to say who has done what in what province.
Thank you.
In terms of the gender barometer, just to say, this report is a report as at 31st of December 2012. Mm. And obviously there are updates now in terms of the work that has been done. If you look into the gender barometer, when I spoke to that, I still highlighted that in some instances we still were having issues of people not submitting the assault. But the department is busy now consolidating a report on that. So the information has come forth, and also even with the victim's charter. Initially, when we were reporting, we were still, you know, collecting data, you know, last year. But now the report is actually out. That we are just waiting for the commissioners to veto, and then it will then go out. So that has been done, and that has been done in terms of the victim's charter as well. In terms of I think I've dealt with dialogues, Honourable Moray. I'm just trying to scan through the other questions that speak to the programs as quickly as possible. The question on GFPs, we have gender focal point persons in departments, and the difficulty that we are always having is that those people who are they run the gender activities or programs of the department, but you find that they are at DD, the deputy director levels, and therefore those levels do not necessarily take decisions. They are not in senior positions, which is why when we engage, we really don't want GFPs, because we'll be talking to just officials. And none of the, you know, when you try and, because part of the, as Commissioner Mazia has indicated, part of what we want with the dialogue is to try and pin down the policymakers to say, this is what you are going to be able to do, so that we can come back and monitor. But when they bring GFPs, you can never get commitment to say, I'm going to do 1, 2, and 3, because somebody will say, all those things have been noted, but I still need to go back and engage with my senior manager or whoever that is responsible to ensure that some of these things happen. So that's why we don't need the middleman. We would rather engage with the actual policy persons, people who, you know, senior managers who ensure that decisions are taken and who come up with these policies that affect everyone on the ground. In terms of employment equity hearings, that has been responded to. Some of the, in the last financial year, if you go back and look into our reporting, in the last financial year, we had the national office holding their employment equity hearings, and we had KZN and Northwest holding their hearings in that particular year. So this year we're still continuing with the momentum, which is why this year we've had Northern Cape, we've had Mpumalanga, we've had Free State last week. But because when I was reporting for this, it was as at December, so I reported and stopped at December. But Free State has held its employment equity hearing last week, and the Gauteng office has also held theirs last week. We are only now left with the Eastern Cape, and they have set theirs for the 27th of March, which is next week as well. So that is the last one that will be held. And then we will see when we then come back to you on our strategic plan for next year, we will then be in a position to highlight, to say what else we are going to be doing, who are we going back to see whether there's been any change after, and Western Cape also held theirs previously. So everybody has already been covered in terms of employment equity hearings, and we are just now left with Eastern Cape. Then next year we'll then see who the follow-ups are going to be in terms of that. We take note of the issue around involving other federations. I must say, when we engaged SAFA, it was purely on the basis that it started as a complaint that we were investigating as the commission. So when we then looked into the SAFA complaint, we then decided that we think, as we are already holding, you know, hearings, that we should call them to appear before us for the hearings. And we have had follow-up meetings with them. And we have also noted that there is some information that we still waiting, you know, to come from them. We're even trying to decide whether we should actually subpoena them again or what needs to be done, because that information has not been forthcoming. The answers or the responses that we get of late is the fact that, you know, there were internal problems and internal issues. At some point, some people were suspended and all that. So we're still needing to engage with them further, but some follow-up meetings have actually taken place with us and also even with the complainant SAUFA themselves. But we do take note of, you know, maybe perhaps looking into engaging others, even if it's not necessarily from a point of view of a complaint, that we can then, whilst we are doing this transformation and employment equity hearing, that we then also try and involve them in those specific matters. We do have Honourable Lamola. We do have some consultants, like Commissioner Coles has indicated. For our communications strategy, we had a strategy that when we presented it was found to be quite lacking, and because communications is such an important leg, what we did, we went out and got a person to come in, but we are not paying that person at consultancy rates. We are paying that person almost as an employee at deputy director level. So we have a person whose contract is for 6 months, and that person is being paid as a deputy director in terms of government levels. And the main reason why we didn't just want a consultant, we wanted somebody who will be there, because we realized that in terms of capacity, within the communications, there are some, gaps. And we wanted this person not just to come, we didn't want a person that will come and draft documents and go, but we wanted a person that will involve the actual staff in coming up with the documents, because then it would mean that those specific staff members within the communications will be able to then roll out all the plans and understand all the plans. So part of the contract is also touching on issues of capacity building and empowerment. So we do have, you know, such, we do have under communications as well. We do have Honourable Sandra Merbe engaged with community radio stations. I think the chair has touched on that. The only thing is, we did not have, you know, a proper synchronized way in terms of working with them. Now this year, you will see when we come and we present our plan, we have put for ourselves that we need to then enter into MOUs with them, because previously we were doing it, but it's more done on an ad hoc basis and all that. So now we are wanting to actually ensure that we enter into MOUs with them, and we have that, we have put that target for ourselves, so that we ensure that that actually happens in the coming financial year, and at least it happens in a more concrete manner rather than ad hoc and the other ways that we've been working in the past financial year. It's a pity Honourable Kekana has left. Yes, we do engage with traditional leaders. I think when the chair was taking through his introduction in terms of what commissioners do, we do engage with traditional leadership. We have also been engaging with the different churches. We went in December to see the Shembe leadership due to some of these underage marriages that were coming up. So we do you know, engage with them on some of the gender equality matters. If you look even into our engagement with the Shembe leadership, the specific one that we went to in KZN, we even included in you know, in some of the resolutions of our meeting to say we will be working together going forward, and they must also give us a slot to come and talk to their council and all the other people in terms of gender equality issues. So we have engaged and we are still going to engage on that. GCIS, we also don't have a relationship with. He's waiting for Commission for Gender Equality. We did not have a formal relationship, and even when you look in terms of the communication strategies that we've come up with, and even the plans, part of it is to ensure that we also try and sign an MOU with GCIS, because that will help us in terms of ensuring that some of our activities are really taken to the ground to say what are the kind of things that we are going to be doing. So we never had a formal one as well. We just had that, those ad hoc and all that. In terms of vacancies, okay, the CFO has got a specific, just to take you through the actual vacancies that we have. But I must indicate that, you know, part of the reason why we had some vacancies which we really stalled is because we are trying to see, if you look into the kind of budget that we have, our budget is very limited and it's fixed. And at some point, as and when vacancies were happening, specifically vacancies for provincial coordinators or people that are managing the provinces, we were trying to engage, and once commissioners were here, we were then able to engage with them to say, what is it that, you know, the secretariat thinks we can put in place to try and ensure that, you know, those positions also carry, you know, other burdens in terms of what is expected of the finance department. You find that many a times everybody thinks that issue of assets is the CFO's problem, while in actual fact you are sitting in a province in Northwest and you are using a chair and you just don't take care of that particular chair, which is an asset. So those are the other things that we wanted to do, to try and see what are the kind of things that, and also as a measure to try and take care of some of the issues that the Auditor General has been bringing up. And we wanted to revamp a little bit and say what are other responsibilities that we could possibly add. Do we change the job dramatically, or do we just do some bits and pieces of add-ons which will not necessarily change? But we needed to engage with commissioners. And now we are on course. And the provincial coordinator positions have already, for instance, been advertised in December already. We have held, for instance, interviews for head of legal department. Unfortunately, we could in that process we couldn't identify a proper person, but we are still, you know, trying to engage to ensure that those critical positions are also filled. We, you know, in terms of the travel and Honourable Sandamelme, in terms of a lot of money being spent, or whether, I think your question was whether we have any kind of arrangement, for instance, with budget and everybody else, those specific service providers. The question is, we don't. But if you look at the trend in terms of what has been happening, you know, within the commission, and when it comes to this specific component, we have actually tried to make quite a number of savings, because previously in the previous regime we never even had like a properly contracted service provider and all that, and that we have to go and tender, as we had reported previously in this committee, and we have been now at least getting some form of value for money with the service provider that is now running in terms of our travel and accommodation. So in as much as it still looks a bit high, we will, you know, we take note of what you have highlighted, and perhaps once that contract has actually lapsed, we will try and see what are the kind of other measures we can try and put in place to ensure that we take it down even further. Because if you look at it, it has really gone down. And yes, as I think you would have heard, when the case that you've highlighted, those are the kind of cases that we deal with. As the chair has highlighted, I mean, there was an issue in terms of underage and forced marriages and all that. So the matter of the girl who was sold for 20 rand, those are matters that we do engage with, and we will do a follow-up on that and give feedback. Disciplinary cases, Honorable Lamola, I think.
Pardon? I have a number of questions.
I'm talking about you asked about disciplinary. It's one of the questions that you asked. In the current financial year, if you remember, in the previous financial year, we had reported as the commission where we were investigating provincial coordinators, which has actually led to some of the vacancies that we have. Mm. And some of those matters were finalized, and I think there's one that was finalized in the current financial year, but it was not a new matter for this financial year. It was still that matter which we had reported against previously, where we had indicated that there was a whistleblower to the CEO's office that had indicated that provincial managers were claiming for kilometers traveled, whilst in actual fact they were utilizing CGE fleet, even though they are not supposed to, because we have different levels. In terms of the level, that managerial level, level 11 upwards, you are not supposed to utilize the CGE fleet. You must utilize your own car. So you would find that they then took an opportunity there in provinces. You can't see them, and that's what they did. And then we then launched an investigation into all these previous things, and which is why we have now some of the vacancies that we have. And the last one, the Gauteng provincial one, is the one that was finalized in the current financial year, but it's still a matter that is emanating from previous. And we don't have any that has arisen, I mean, within the three quarters that we are reporting to for this new financial year. The Unite campaign is, you know, it's a campaign that gives, I mean, it's a campaign for everybody. It's a campaign that was launched for the UN that was just saying we must all unite and talk, you know, speak against gender violence against women. And we adopted that campaign. It's a campaign that really says we must on the 25th of each month, for us to really show that we hate violence and all that, we must wear orange t T-shirts and the like. So it's just a campaign that we adopted as the commission, as an institution that is also trying very hard to decrease levels of gender-based violence. So we then decided to also, you know, unite with them or everybody else who is undertaking the campaign, where people are encouraged to wear anything that is orange, whether it's a scarf, a T-shirt, a ribbon, or any other, just like 16 days. So that's the actual campaign, and that's what it speaks to. Position paper on sex work, we have adopted that position paper in the last plenary, and we are still trying to work around, you know, how commissioners will be able to put it out there for everybody. I won't talk much on it. It's supposed to be a surprise. But yes, we have adopted a position as the commission on sex work. And whilst I'm on sex work, I'm just remembering that Honorable Lamola had asked a question around why we engaged with COSATU. I know the chair responded from a political view, sensitive. The main issue here was we partnered with COSATU, and this is why we are highlighting COSATU. It's not that we invited only COSATU to the process. You know, some of these processes, you find that it involves a lot of money. And part of what we are supposed to be doing as a commission is to try and collaborate with like-minded institutions for everybody to put something on the table so that we are able to then push some of these activities. And we just partnered with COSATU, but we tried to invite all the stakeholders that work within that the labor sector, whether it's FEDUSA, everybody else was there in that particular dialogue, as the same that we did with sex work as well. That's what we also did in terms of engaging with them.
Did she answer the question on the operational, chief operational officer?
I'm going to finalize now, Chairperson. I think in terms of the costing for the 365 days, it's clear that is not our plan. It's a government plan. And, I mean, like in any other, we have to highlight as an institution if we have monitored and assessed, and we've seen that part of the problems is that there was no costing. That's what we are highlighting to say. These are some of our findings, to say the problems is because there was no proper, there was costing, but there wasn't a specific budget that was allocated for that. And in actual fact, there are always matters like that. For instance, we as the commission, we have an added-on mandate from PEPUDA that has never been budgeted for. But so that's the only thing that we're trying to highlight in terms of the findings of the report. The position for the chief operation officer, Honorable Lamol, that position is not filled. And the reason, you know, that position is not filled is the commission or the commissioners are still needing to engage to say, how are we going to put out this particular position? If you look into the background, we have indicated previously that when there was a matter before, previously of the previous CEO, the previous CEO had put herself without following proper processes to a higher level to accommodate her to create a COO position at that point in time. And because no proper processes were followed in terms of ensuring that the job is evaluated properly, plenary is engaged, and Minister of Finance is engaged, we then, when we re-advertised after the previous CEO left, we re-advertised the CEO position at its original level, which level at that point in time had been taken by the COO. So we are still going through processes internally as the commission. I know that some of the commissioners are feeling very strongly to ensure that that position comes back again. But the only problem is we need to then discuss the issues around, you know, what level, at what level, seeing that the CEO position is now at level 14. So that's one of the matters that we haven't, it hasn't fallen off our radar. We are still looking into it, and we will look into that. I think I will stop here and give the CFO time to respond, and if I see some other questions that I haven't responded to, I will indicate and come back. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, CEO. I'm gonna respond to questions. The first question is a question that came from Honorable Member Kekana around how much we had in the bank account, or we have. It's 16.7 million as at the end of December. And linked to that, there's a question around whether there have been irregularities around the administration of bank account. None whatsoever, Honorable Lamoda. We're doing bank reconciliation in terms of treasury regulations. We do them regularly. The next question was around the vacancies. How many do we have? By the end of December, overall, including the three commissioners, for the three commissioners, we had 19 vacancies, made up of as follows, one for COO, COO, yes, the one that still in the structure has not been filled, one for, there would be one for an administrator, one researcher, resource center manager, legal officer, five provincial coordinators, one complaints officer, and the head of legal services. And there's been efforts. I think there's been an intensified recruitment process by HR. Some of these positions have now been filled, or appointments are just going to be made in April, at the beginning of the financial year. I'm skimming through selecting questions that have not been responded to. The issue around the AG dealing with the Auditor General's issues, whether there are plans, sufficient plans in place. Yes, we do have plans, constructed plans, plans that have been subjected to oversight by the audit committee and were found to be adequate, and we are actioning upon them to rectify past mistakes. So the next audit outcome will reflect how well we have done on the issues. And in terms of avoidance of illegal expenditure, I think management is doing all in its power to be prudent in avoiding occurrence of irregular expenditure. So we are hoping that the auditor's report would reflect our belief that we are avoiding occurrence of any irregularity when we spend. The issue of performance bonuses as linked to whether there are disciplinary cases, general performance basically of staff members, and whether management is taking any action to rectify. We do, I can link that specifically to a question around capacity within finance. The AG has indeed found that there have been capacity limitations within the department, and we are in total agreement that there are challenges within the department, and linked to that, I mean, as part of management responsibility instance, we are applying basically performance management and development processes, in a sense that not, as an example, not everyone within finance department got performance bonus that is linked to performance review. And activities that are being undertaken during the course of this financial year includes direct personal performance review through formal processes, through HR, that has been done to try and rectify the negative side of people's behavior in terms of performance, and even in some instances where there are, although the matters are still sub judice, if I may say so, where there are instances of misconduct, misconduct that may include negligence on the part of employees. Those matters have been recorded and informally taken through internal disciplinary processes. So we are appreciating the fact that the means to capacitate the department as well would be to remove or place properly people who are misplaced. So we are going through that process, but really appreciating everybody else's interest in the encounter. There was a question around whose guarantee orders are this. I think that's a detailed extract from financial reports that has been given as an annexure, circulated as I was doing the presentation. It has a listing of what has been spent against the many, many accounts. It's a long list. In that list, it's a trial balance. In that list, there's a line that says guarantee orders. Yes, those guarantee orders are guarantee orders that we act upon once we receive them from the attorneys, and we make deductions from staff salaries and pay over to the indicated receiving agent, or it may even be attorneys. Some of these orders are coming from SARS in relation to tax that is due and payable by individual employees. We honor those financial orders as court orders and act upon. Overtime payments, that also appears in that listing. Yes, it's, we don't necessarily work from 8 to 5 Monday to Friday generally, but there are instances in which staff, especially junior staff, are expected to carry out work. As an example, when there are public holidays, there are activities that are linked to CG business. Even tomorrow, it's an activity that there may be activities that would attract CG's involvement. And then in those instances, when we want staff members who qualify for overtime to partake, we do remunerate them accordingly. So the figures indicated there are basically for those ad hoc instances. There was a question around the balance against the allowance account. Allowances that I reported there. Basically, our remuneration structure for commissioners and staff. We've got remuneration structure for commissioners, for senior managers, and general staff. So commissioners, senior managers, and middle managers are entitled to, they are on a total cost to company model. So they have X amount which is fixed. They choose how to select elements within the remuneration. And one of the elements that we select as senior managers, as an example, is car allowance. I've been given a fixed amount. I just determined that so much would be my car allowance. And typical structuring elements have been charged against this account. So there aren't, I can mention specific allowances that occurs in terms of CG internal policies. Allowances that have been given to qualifying staff would be for cell phone allowance for PAs, as an example, because they need to be able to be contactable even outside of the working hours. We've got subsidies, housing subsidy for qualifying employees, but that excludes middle managers upwards. We have medical aid allowance, but it works in terms of our policy, and then not everybody qualifies automatically. There are specific strict criteria on how to qualify. Transport costs, the content in the transport cost account relates to taxi services, shuttle services. We For general transportation, we use our own vehicles to do CGE day-to-day work. However, when we are traveling, as an example, coming here to Parliament, we'd need to have shuttle services, taxi services, bus services to reach our destination. So that account contains a typical expenditure. Media outreach account under spending, yes, indeed. And indeed, this is also one of the critical objectives of the CGE. However, as you can see from the report, we have had donations. The donor carried the bill in terms of our objectives around the media outreach. So that is what explains the unspent money. I don't think there's any other question that I might have left out. Thank you, Chair.
Sorry, Chair, I'm not sure you can just briefly, just for 2 minutes, 1 minute, answer on this, another critical one, 1 second.
The vacancies indeed have contributed to the reported surpluses, past vacancies. And the relationship is that it's not desirable to have vacancies after all, because they do have an impact on service delivery. Basically, my response would be to say that we have reported surpluses because we have had vacancies for far too long in the previous financial years. And the reasons relating to why we have had vacancies have been given in earlier responses. But they are the primary sources of reported surpluses.
Chairperson, just to add on the vacancies as well, the other vacancies CGE does not have power over. The commissioner's vacancies, because if you look at the budget as well, that parliament and the department and the president need to actually appoint the commissioners. But those that we have, that you can have control over, then those that you can always report on.
Chairperson,
we'll respond on the chairperson's issue as well. Very briefly, chairperson, I know.
Issue on
I think there was a question that I skipped from Honourable Lamola in terms of the court case around the former chairperson. In actual fact, if you go back, there were quite a number of cases, including even Four Rivers. Four Rivers is done, and they are basically paying us. There was an order for them to pay us 100,000. We went through an arbitration, and we have an arbitration order. In terms of the former chairperson's matter, we are still in the High Court in terms of that matter, so the legal processes are still taking place. Once we have a date and all, then we would be in a position to then highlight a finalization in terms of the former chairperson's case, the travel matter.
Thank you. I think the time is already 1 o'clock, and I'm still not satisfied with the response regarding my question, because I don't think we are answering it directly. My question is, we've got surplus because there are vacancies, and I was asking, if these vacancies were filled, what was going to be the impact on the surplus, especially the three commissioners? Because that is why you have that surplus, you know. I think the
Chairperson, if I can just add, my question on donors, two donors are mentioned in the presentation. I wanted to know if there are any more donors. And there is a specific reason why I'm asking it. And I want the department to confirm that. And then while I'm on the floor, the Commissioner Mazia gave an excellent explanation and very passionate about it, and I'm grateful to see that coming from the Commissioner on the National Council Against Gender-Based Violence.
Now, since it was established, and I'm very honest about this, we do not have any report on what happened up till now, and it's about 3 months later. The lacks that were identified, or the shortcomings that were identified, was put out by the, was mentioned by the commissioner. Is it possible that she can give us a brief summary on the issues arising from why they're not up and running? And I knew this was going to happen. If we can just have, so that we can follow up, Jay, this is a very important council, and we have so many other councils, so that at least this one can work and do what they're supposed to do, being under the deputy president. That's Jay. Yeah, my involvement, your involvement in it.
Can I ask the CFO to respond on the impact? Because now I'm getting your question very clearly, Chairperson, around that. But I think that if we have commissioners, that surplus would reduce dramatically, and staff members, but also the impact on the ground will, in terms of the work that we do, will also multiply, but also from the financial point of view. I shall speak to that. To speak to the Commissioner Lamola's issue around the GPV concern.
In my second life, I'll be there.
I'm very sorry. I'm used to. I'm very sorry, Honourable Ramola. I'm used to working with Commissioner. I'm very sorry, Chairperson. Honourable Ramola, the issue of the, as much as the Commissioner was presenting on the GPV concern. The GPV Council is not the project of the Gender Commission.
I know.
So it is the project of the Women's Ministry, and we sit there as an observer. But you can, so that you can monitor. But once we have the report, because a part of the 365 days, also to monitor the 365 days, then we'll be able to actually report to the committee, say, in relation to 365 days, programs, including the GPV Council. That's what we've monitored, that's what we've actually found out in terms of the operations of the GPV Council.
I know it is the minister. Chairperson, I know that it falls under the minister. The only thing that I want is that she was really speaking on the issues lacking, why they're not up and running, their report on what they found. I know it does not fall under them, but from their side, seeing that they will have to get involved to get this thing up and running. I couldn't capture everything, and that was only why I've asked for that. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. As I was saying earlier, pertaining to our role as CGE, and in our report, I think our report is also given, going to give some of the responses, because the findings is much more elaborative here, Honourable Member. You will be able to find it in detail in each of the commitments that was made. And as I said, the Council made for the first time and crafted a plan to make sure that the implementation happened. Unfortunately, CGE does not have a report now to give you a report pertaining to more than that information. Thank you.
Very much. Let me once again, extend our, gratitude on the report that we got from you today. I think it was a very elaborative, informative, and one other aspect I think that we actually want to express also our gratitude is the manner in which you still are able to fall within your budget, having a clean audit, and we hope that it will stay that way. Like one member said, it's no longer than what it was in the 2009 and 2010. We hope that you will continue to monitor and evaluate, especially the private sector, because we know that in terms of employment, equity, private sector is very much behind. So we do hope that we will continue to monitor that, and we are looking really forward to
to see some of the actions, especially when you come back to, you know, brief us on your APP. We hope that you will see more action, you know, that you could not elaborate on today. And, as I said that when we opened that, we would like to see more of those, you know, recommendations that were made by AG and the ad hoc committee being implemented. Thank you very much, and thank you, honorable members as well, commissioners.